Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Doing wonderful, bro. Ready to go.
All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Also with us, as always, is the show's producer. How are you doing today, bro?
I'm doing awesome in the Lord.
Well, praise the Lord. As you probably heard at the beginning of this episode, these next four shows, we're going to be dealing with the issue of Christmas and some of the issues surrounding Christmas, some of the things that are being taught online, some places where we hold convictions. And what better way to start than somebody who has kind of co-opted Christmas, and that is with Santa Claus, good old Saint Nick. And I had a ton of questions for Joe on this, and one of them I was talking to him about was specifically, you know, because I've seen obviously some, you know, Krampus, you know, kind of creature, you know, sometimes, and then other times you see the story of Nicholas and that, you know, he punched Arian in the face, the famous controversy of Arianism and versus Trinitarianism.
Yeah,
and,
the arch heretic there.
Yeah. Arius, right? And so I thought it'd be really interesting to talk about that. And also, guys, this is a question that we have all the time at the ministry, one, and two, something that I think we all think about, like, hey, I know for me, I grew up celebrating Santa and that, you know, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. And I'm telling you why, because Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake, right? And so I remember growing up with that and having my, you know, don't miss the house here because we're in here and we've been good this year, Santa. Come on in. So, Joe, we're going to get right into it. What do you think, man? Should kids be getting told by their parents about Santa and whatnot?
Yeah, I have some strong convictions about that as well. And, you know, as Christians, we all go forward in the Lord best we can, hopefully. And we have different convictions. We don't divide over secondary issues. We don't, you know, make a war over issues. But as a family, we should be able to state our convictions to one another. And this ministry, we're certainly obligated, I believe, to answer the questions we get. On a lot of subjects, we can't answer them all because we get a ton of questions. We have over 150,000 subscribers, YouTube and Facebook together, and very active. Many of them subscribers are great. We had a great family. But we do believe that, you know, I personally, Tony and Chad, we all celebrate Christmas. We all love Christmas, and that's because it's such an opportunity to lift up Jesus. It's just we're able to share the gospel. We see a lot of people get saved. Through Christmas, it has a lot of wonderful fruit, but at the same time, Christmas could also become a trap, because you can. There's a lot of things in Christmas that can distract you from Jesus. So, in my household through the years, we always kept away from those things, Santa being one of them. The whole teaching of Santa Claus, we decided we're not going to lie to our children year after year and tell them that there's this guy that's going to reward them if they just focus on being good for him. We want them to be good for Jesus, you know, and we never celebrated Santa. In fact, my kids, one of my sister's or my wife's house, her sister's kids, my wife's sister's kids, one of my kids kind of blew it for all of them, just lecturing them on how there's no Santa Claus, and we didn't plan that, but it was like caused a bit of an ordeal because it's like you're attacking a deity. And when people get defensive over Santa Claus, you got to ask why, you know? You know, why get defensive over Santa Claus? Anyways, but at the same time, we don't believe in throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And in this context, I mean, baby Jesus celebrating his birth, you know, because it's a great opportunity to focus on him. And if anyone wants us not to focus on Christ being incarnated in the world and him being the light of the world and singing songs about Jesus and the message of salvation, it's Satan. Satan wants to keep us from doing that. So now people could in good conscience say, you know, I don't want to celebrate Christmas at all. And that doesn't mean you're of Satan. That just means, hey, you know, when I was a Christian, I looked at the holidays and I thought, okay, so I'm a sola scriptura guy. I'm a what saith, you know, the scripture. And I speak where the scriptures speak, and I don't speak where the scriptures don't speak when it comes to where I draw lines, especially for others. I mean, I might tell my kids to go to, you got to go to bed at this time. Actually, our time limit was very open with them because we homeschooled and everything. But I don't tell other people's kids when they got to go to bed. So I don't, on certain convictions that are more personal about practical applications of, you know, things, they belong to each of us, you know, in our own way, as long as, you know, unless we need to be corrected and we're off in an area. However, I think it's imperative that we realize that Santa Claus is a very huge danger. And just bear this out. If you're, you know, one who likes the whole idea of Santa Claus and you share it with your children, or maybe you don't have children yet, but, you know, so forth, just hear us out for a little bit, because there's some real concerns about what kids are being taught about Santa Claus and how Santa Claus becomes a rival God in the kids, in many of the millions of children's minds, because they're told that he's real, that he's coming, and that's bigger than life. And does God really want us lying to our children? No. We're supposed to speak the truth in love. And if you joke with somebody and say, you know, there's a quick joke, that's one thing when you're playing or something. But when you, year after year after year, for years, instill in their minds a worldview that there's this magical entity named Santa Claus with other magical entities named elves that are watching you, and he's seeing whether you're good or you're bad, he's reward you, and they actually see concrete evidence, they think of that every Christmas, he becomes more real to them than Jesus, you know. And then when they come to realize he doesn't exist, I've been lied to all these years, many a child, I know one personally, they can get upset and they can rebel against Christ, thinking he's also a myth. So this is very, very serious for many, many people, and it's devastated some people's faith. So it's interesting, because some will invariably say, well, yeah, Santa Claus, you know, coming on reindeer and going through the roofs, that's obviously a myth, but he's based on a true story about Saint Nicholas. You mean the Roman Catholic saint that the Catholics pray to? Yeah, he gave gifts to all kinds of children, and it's based on that. Well, guess what? Just like kids want to believe the myth of Santa Claus, a lot of the parents want to justify the myth based on another myth of Saint Nicholas giving gifts to a bunch of kids. That's also a myth, you know? But we love to parrot it as though it's, you know, well, we know the real truth behind Santa, and it's based on some facts. So, you know, when they get older, we'll tell them the real truth. No, that's a lie. And we'll talk about some of that. In fact, yeah, Saint Nicholas, so-called, I don't call him a saint. He's a Roman Catholic, so-called saint. But he did exist, but his story is made up pretty much from whole cloth. The only thing that's probably true about him that we know is that he was a bishop and where he was a bishop. But as far as a lot of the miraculous stories, there's no evidence that these things actually took place. In fact, every single one of them that I'm aware of is written much later about him than when he actually existed. I think that's very important, all these legends and so forth. One legend starts when he was, you know, he was a very holy child when he was born. And the story goes to say, you know, so far that he refused his mother's milk every Friday to keep the Catholic Church discipline of abstinence on Fridays. Now, I don't think that's true, folks. You know, another popular story about I'll just call him Saint Nick, was that an evil innkeeper had lured a few children into his inn, and then he proceeded to butcher them and chop them up in little pieces and put them in wooden pickle jars. And Saint Nick just happened to be coming by. He went in, he discovered the plot, and he took them out of the pickle jars, and he reassembled them and resurrected them. Do you guys believe that? No, I don't believe it either. St. Nicholas supposedly arrived and, put them back together again. So he's recognized as a patron saint of children for a lot of reasons, that being one of them. But we're told to pray, you know, for our children to St. Nick by Roman Catholics, you know. So he was already being glamorized in the Roman Catholic Church as a saint, and he just became bigger and bigger, and eventually became Santa Claus. Another dramatic miracle supposedly attributed to him was, that particular miracle, by the way, just let me say this, that was written about 700 years, first time, and it was in Lower Saxony, where the first writings in the Middle Ages, about 700 years after St. Nicholas, this story arrives, and we're supposed to believe it. So it's all these crazy things like him calming a huge storm, and thereby he becomes also the patron saint for sailors. You know, of course. Another story that a man had three daughters, but he was very poor and he didn't know how he was going to marry off his daughters because, you know, he didn't have a dowry that he would have to give. And St. Nick, you know, dropped three bags of gold down the chimney. And each one ended up in three, you know, separate socks, three different socks. And they just landed there perfectly. And by the way, these stories all come much later than the actual St. Nicholas's existence. And I think it's interesting, too, even the idea that, I mean, even the idea that St. Nicholas was going around giving a bunch of gifts and he had great wealth, we don't read that in his lifetime, anything about that. It's much later that we read these things. And there's another popular one that's out there is that St. Nick, as you mentioned, Chad, and Chad mentioned, yeah, right before we went on, he goes, I want to know if he really punched Arius, you know? And no, there's no evidence that he punched Arius. The idea is that St. Nicholas went to the Council of Nicaea in about 325. And in Council of Nicaea, he met up with Arius, who was being tried, and he punched him in the face. Well, guess what? We don't even have a record in his lifetime or in the Nicene records that he was at the Council of Nicaea, which is crazy. Now, he may have been there. You know, he's a bishop, so he very well probably was there. But there wasn't any, he's not mentioned as in the proceedings as having any significant role in the, especially mentioning.
It sounds like that'd be a pretty big role to punch someone in the face.
Yeah, I think you would, that would be a pretty well-known story. Exactly. So, and by the way, the record of Nicholas even attending the council, I said, didn't exist. And it wasn't until about 1,300 years later that that story was made up.
Oh, okay.
So about 1,000 years after his lifetime. So this is crazy. And there's memes, you know, on the internet you can read. One meme I saw was, you know, of Nicholas saying, deck the halls, try deck the heretic. And another is, I came to give gifts and presents to kids and to punch heretics, and I just ran out of presents. And so forth. There's even songs like I Saw Santa Punching Arius. So it's interesting that there's all these myths around Santa Claus, but we go, yeah, but Saint Nick existed. Yeah, he existed. That's about all you really know about his life, really,
yeah.
You know, as a bishop. And let's just be honest, guys. We're allowing this inflated, you know, that's what happens. That's what happens with regard to false religion and cults. They blow up certain people, and these people Satan uses to distract us from Jesus. And I would just encourage people to focus on Jesus. Isn't what he did for us in saving us, creating us, saving us, loving us, not only redeeming us, but creating a place for us to be with him forever? Isn't that enough for us, you know? And that's what should occupy your child's mind at this time if you're going to celebrate Christmas. If you choose not to celebrate Christmas, you say, I just don't want anything to do with Christmas and so forth. Well, you know, praise the Lord for you as our brother, our sister, you know, whatever your convictions are on there. You know, okay, but you know what? I'm encouraging you, if you do celebrate Christmas, celebrate Christ. You know, I always see, I hate the Xmas. You know, you see that Xmas all over the place, and it's like you're Xing out Jesus. And I know it's an abbreviation. Printers used it because it was easy to take the first letter of his Greek name in Greek and put it before Miss. And, you know, but the problem with this is, man, you know what? Secular people love that abbreviation.
Yeah,
I hate
true.
It because, you know what?
Yeah.
Christ should be the focus, you know? And I celebrate it as Christ Day. So, but a lot of people don't realize that with regard to, you know, Nicholas, that St. Nicholas, a lot of Protestants didn't want anything to do with him. They looked at him as a demigod, as a Catholic saint. During the Protestant Reformation, they were like, why do we want to focus on St. Nick? You know, this Roman Catholic saint, we want to focus on Jesus. And it's just interesting. And many, during the Reformation, you can check it out, in a lot of different countries, was even suppressed, the whole idea of St. Nicholas and so forth. But it wasn't in the Netherlands. In the Netherlands, he still got, you know, it was called Sinterklaas. Santa Claus, his name was St. Nick, became Sinterklaas, later become anglicized under Santa Claus. But what a lot of people don't know, that in several countries, whether it was, you know, Austria or Bavaria or Croatia, the Czech Republic, Hungary, Northern Italy, Slovakia, Slovenia, in these different areas, St. Nick came with a companion. And that was Krampus, and spelled Krampus. And they were companions. They worked together, and they'd go house to house. Think about this. This is a very demonic tale. Krampus is a wicked, horned, anthropomorphic devil. He's described as half goat and half demon, like the Baphomet almost. Hairy. He's got these cloven hoofs. He's horns, you know. He's got this long, protruding tongue that sticks out like a snake and wags. And so forth. He's got these sharp fangs, and he's coupled with St. Nicholas, and Krampus would hunt for children. So certain children would be blessed, but other ones would be, well, he's depicted with his basket, sometimes a bag on his back, and he's got these birch branches, sometimes a whip where he beats children. I'm not kidding, guys. And the sack is used to catch children and then drown them, or he eats them. Or he, depends on which version of the myth you're looking at in ancient days, where he transports them to hell. This was how these guys were, this was not celebrating Christ, man. This was celebrating just wickedness, you know, and making a bunch of stuff up and not the way you want to celebrate, in my opinion, Jesus. So, of course, what a lot of Americans have done have stripped, you know, the myth of Saint Nick and turned him into, or added to the myth, and he became Santa Claus, and he got a huge makeover. And it's just a really phony caricature of Saint Nick, who was a caricature of Nicholas the man, you know. And how did the changes happen? Well, the Dutch, who were, as I mentioned, in the Netherlands, they were still celebrating it, even though it had been suppressed in the 1500s and 1600s and so forth, in 17th century. In the 17th and 18th century, they brought it to the United States with some of the Germans. And in 1773, Sinterklaas was anglicized into Santa Claus. Then go to 1809, Santa Claus waistline gets a lot bigger, because in Washington Irving's book, A History of New York, he portrays him as being as smoking a pipe and having a big stomach, rather than the lanky, you know, bishop of the Roman Catholic Church. In 1822, Santa gets his magic sleigh powered by reindeer, a sack full of toys, and still the round stomach, and like a bowl full of jelly, though, in the poem that came to be called, which was The Night Before Christmas. In the 1930s, the finishing touches were put on. He gets his red suit, white fur, and trim and so forth on the red coat by Coca-Cola, and a Coca-Cola ad illustrator. So he's basically, you know, the world, Coca-Cola, you know, books, poems have added to this persona where he became so much bigger than life and became the heartthrob of kids, especially when Christmas is coming up. They're not thinking about, wow, many of them. They're not thinking, wow, man, praise God, Jesus came to die. If they believe in Santa Claus, they're thinking, man, what am I going to get? You know, I can't believe this guy's going to be on reindeer. It's coming to my house. Can you imagine the excitement these kids have? You know, and it's sad because they should be getting excited about Jesus. And our lives are very short, you know, and there's spiritual warfare. And I personally believe, I believe this with all my heart, that since we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, I believe that Satan has just basically embellished this whole Santa Claus myth to distract us from Jesus. Because it's the most popular holiday for years. Now Halloween is on the ascendancy and so forth, but it's become very popular among the secular people because of the whole Santa Claus myth. Now, here's some huge concerns that I have. Think of the ways that Santa Claus is basically a counterfeit Jesus. When you start hearing the parallels, if there was just two or three, it might be, oh, it's a coincidence. But listen to this, man. Santa is eternal in the minds of young people. To a child, Santa has just always existed. In the Bible, God's word, Jesus Christ is eternal. He'd be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2, it says his goings forth are from everlasting. Jesus says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Santa is omniscient, because children are taught that Santa knows all about everyone. He knows everything about everyone. He watches everyone. In the popular song, Santa Claus is Coming to Town, we learn he sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been good or bad, or bad or good. So be good, for goodness sake. Jesus Christ is omniscient, folks. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Proverbs 15:3. It says of Jesus in Matthew 9:4 that he knew the thoughts of all men, what was in their hearts. Santa is omnipresent. I mean, this guy could go to about over 2,000 houses a second, okay? He just, you know, I mean, if you do the math, he's got millions, billions of people. He's got to give at least over a billion people that celebrate Christmas, which would at least put it over 1,000 houses a second. Well, Jesus Christ is omnipresent. He says, you know, we're two or three gathered together in his name there. He's in the midst of us. In Matthew 28:20, Jesus says, behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Santa is omnipotent, because he carries presents for billions of children. He's got all this power. Well, Jesus is omnipotent. Jesus says, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Matthew 28:18. Santa lives up in the north. Tradition holds that Santa Claus lives in the North Pole, a place above the rest of us. Guess what? The Lord God lives in the north. Jesus is in the north. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Isaiah 14:12-15. Satan wanted to exalt himself above the stars of God on the sides of the north. Santa has spirit helpers called elves. Okay, an elf is defined in Webster's Dictionary 1828. Elf, a spirit. The nightmare, a ghost, hag, witch. I think it's very interesting. Jesus Christ has spirit helpers. The Bible says that then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Chapter 1, verse 14 of Hebrews. And not all angels spirits sent to serve those who help to help who inherit salvation. Santa's coming soon. You know, all these people that are under Santa Claus, you know, and singing about Santa for kids, he's coming soon, because they sing, they emphasize over and over again, Santa is coming. He's coming, you know. And guess what? He's coming real soon every year, because it's just the next December that he comes. Jesus Christ is coming soon, guys. Revelation 22:20. He which testifies these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Santa's coming with white hair. Santa's always depicted as having white hair that's like wool. Jesus Christ has white hair in his resurrected glory. Revelation 1:14. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Santa is coming wearing red and white clothing. When Santa comes bearing the rewarding gifts, according to whether you're good or bad, he comes wearing white and red. Well, guess what? Jesus comes in red and white clothing. In Revelation, John sees Jesus return in Revelation 19. First, he disguised in a white robe in Revelation 1. When he returns, we're told this, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. So when he comes back, his vesture is dipped in blood. How did he get dipped in blood? Isaiah 63 says, who is this coming from Edom, from Bozra, with his garments stained crimson, which is red? Who is this robed in splendor, striding forward with the greatness of his strength? It is I, proclaiming victory, mighty to save. Why are your garments red, like those of one treading the winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone. From the nations, no one was with me. I trampled them in my anger and trod them down in my wrath. Their blood splattered on my garments, and I stained it, and I have stained all my clothing. Santa flies around giving gifts. Don't even have to elaborate on that. Jesus Christ ascended and gave gifts to men. It says that in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Revelation 22, 1 and 2 says, Behold, 22:12 says, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. Santa rewards people based on whether they've been good or bad. Santa Claus is coming to town. The song, you better not watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. Going to find out who's naughty, who's nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. So good for goodness sake. Well, check it out, guys. The scriptures tell us that Jesus rewards us as Christians. Now, we're saved by his grace. If your faith is in Christ and you're trusting him, the just shall live by faith, you're saved and you've passed out of condemnation and you're right before God, right? But regarding your works, you'll be rewarded or lose rewards. In regard to your salvation, you'll have your salvation if you're a believer, but it'll be based on your works. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians 5:10. And I know I'm moving kind of fast because I want to get a lot in. I said, you guys, this could be two different Christmas deals on Santa Claus back to back, but we're going to get a lot of information in. And we know that's why a lot of people love this channel or love our program. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Sound familiar? Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. By the way, that verse is partially quoted by Jesus when he speaks to one of the churches in the book of Revelation. And he's rebuking them, talking about the church of Thyatira. And he's talking about Jezebel and how, you know, they've fallen short and he knows their hearts and so forth. So Santa is a big counterfeit Jesus, folks, okay, who children should be not be getting excited about on Christmas. It's a lie that crowds out Jesus. And, you know, I'll tell you what, when I was a little kid, well, you know, I'm not going to go through personal experiences, but I remember being a little kid, man. I was just a little kid. And when I was being told about Santa, we were made to believe it. Now, there comes a time when you become skeptical. But then I have to be honest, you know, I don't know what part that played in my own life, but it didn't take long after that where I just, you know, lost whole interest in the whole. I thought, you know, I had a version of Christianity that was very, you know, Catholicism. So I looked at that as being, you know, a aberration of whatever Christianity was. But I pretty much had that as a caricature when I was young of what Christianity was. But it's very easy for me to reject the whole the whole idea of Christianity. But you know what? I have a friend named Sueli Haynes, and Sueli Haynes and Jack, they've been here for 29 years. They just moved this year up to Tennessee, and they just came and visited us. I think it was last Sunday. It's beautiful seeing them, and we're doing some work with them. We'll be visiting them this ministry. Actually, we'll be working with them a little bit as we go up to do the National Religious Broadcasters early next year. Great people. But Sue Lee, she grew up as a pastor's kid. And when Jack came to Christ, much like Chad, he saw my presentation. He saw a live version. He was a fireman. He came to heckle it. He heard us talking about rock music. God hit him between the eyes, in the heart, and he fell on his face before God, became a Christian. Became an elder in our church sometime later, you know. I wasn't even a pastor then when he came to Christ. Awesome brother. And Sue Lee's a wonderful sister. But her dad's a pastor. And I was talking about how she lost her faith, you know. And then she came, when Jack came, she ended up coming to the faith. And she's just excited. She's a great teacher of the women and so forth. She said, because of Santa Claus. She says, I believe so much in Santa Claus. I was all excited about Santa Claus. And then when I was told that he didn't really exist, it was not true. I was devastated. And right away, she said, you know what? I bet Jesus isn't true, too. And I totally, she said, I specifically turned away from Jesus because I thought he must be a myth, too. Folks, if it's just one child that that happens to, it's not worth it. But I'm sure she represents all kinds of children. So I believe this is very, very serious. I believe it grieves God's heart that when we fill our kids with lies about somebody else, that it gathers their attention. He doesn't want any rival thrones. The Bible condemns, you know, the worship and the service. Because what happens is kids end up doing good, thinking, I want to get good Christmas presents, you know? So they end up serving Santa instead of Jesus. Idolatry can be very subtle, but this is a little bit more blatant. It's not even subtle, because kids' minds are arrested by this whole concept of Santa Claus. The Lord doesn't want rival thrones. And this is what's happened with millions and millions of children. So we want to encourage our brothers and sisters to really think about this. You may have a different conviction in the end, even after you've heard all this, but I really encourage you to go before God and ask the Lord if this grieves his spirit. Ask him if what he would have you do. Because, you know, if someone teaches their kid about Santa Claus, I'm not going to, you know, we're not going to like disown you and, you know, but I just really encourage you to think about it, because I want my kids to love Jesus, man. And Satan wants them to be distracted from Jesus. And this time of year is a great time of year, more than just about any other time of the year, where you're able to convey how beautiful Jesus is. Look at all the beautiful Christmas songs. I mean, the most beautiful songs on the planet, I believe, are Christmas songs by far and away. And they're just so beautiful.
Yeah.
They're very theological. They're deep. They celebrate the incarnation of Jesus. And all of a sudden, our kids are learning something totally different. So it breaks my heart for all these children. And I do believe it's been a huge deception that's been foisted on the world. So I want to encourage you, because there's nothing sacred to Satan. He'll use whatever God he can. But so with parents, a lot of them, it's money, materialism at this time of year. A lot of the kids, it's Santa Claus. So I just want to encourage you to speak the truth and love your children. If you've already told them about Santa Claus, maybe it's time to say, hey, you know what? I need to have a talk with them and say, hey, I love you. I want you to realize what the real reason is for Christmas, and the only real reason we'd want to celebrate this day.
Amen to that. And I just wanted to get this in right before we finish up here. Also, guys, thinking about Christmas, what a wonderful gift it is that Good Fight Ministries is now coming out with a new radio network. And I know Joe's been really excited about it, and hopefully, prayerfully, and we're definitely, you know, hitting Tony with that whip to get it done in January, so you guys will have the Good Fight Radio Network with teachers such as Leonard Ravenhill, of course, Joe Schimmel. I mean, we got apologists like Frank Turek. I mean, we have a ton of content that you guys are going to be able to listen to and be fed on. So, guys, just I hope you guys are looking forward to that, and please pray for that. And as well, please tell people to go to the new channel for Good Fight, the Good Fight Radio Show. It's got its own channel. Goodfight.org, Goodfight, our own network. We have 105,000 subscribers. This one's just getting off the ground floor, and it already has over 500 followers. So please go subscribe to both channels if you haven't, but definitely subscribe to the Good Fight Radio Show if you have not. God bless.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.